Today I'm talking with Daniela Cavalletti from Cavalletti Communications out of Sydney, Australia. And Daniela is an accomplished copywriter editor who heads the international tribe of wordsmith at Cavalletti Communications, as I said. And she's looking for attention seekers, content for attention seekers. So you know it's going to be a great episode when she starts like that. So it really is. And we go into sort of the details of what you need to be able to develop an authentic audience, how to communicate gooder, better with your audience by, you know, taking a few steps back and saying, this is what we really need to do. This is the strategy that we're going to do. And this is how we're going to implement it. So take a listen. She's got some excellent ideas on how to improve communication for business, but also just for fun. So we'll be speaking with Daniela in a moment, so let's get started.
Overwhelmed with online or just wanting to learn more about how you can build a successful business amidst all of the self-appointed gurus, big buzzwords and empty promises? The Breaking Digital Podcast by Doyle Bueller tells you exactly what smart entrepreneurs need to know to escape the clutter, get clear of the confusion, and pass the bullshit of building and growing a successful business online. It's about digital leadership
and delivering the best value for your business online to your audience.
Now, here's your host and author of the book on digital leadership and online marketing, The Digital Delusion, Doyle Bueller.
Hello and welcome back. Let's get started. Today I'm speaking with Daniela Cavalletti from Cavalletti Communications out of Sydney. Welcome, Daniela. How are you today?
Not too bad. Thank you very much, Doyle. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Very, very. It's a pleasure to have you here because you're the communications person and I've been sort of dying to get someone talking about communications. Can you maybe give me a quiz at the end to let me know how I did or?
Sure thing. I think you're going to be doing all right, you know, having followed you for a little while and knowing what you do.
Oh, okay, cool. And you call, what do you call yourself? A content for what is it? Attention seekers?
Oh, that's our strapline. Yes, content for attention seekers. A bit tongue-in-cheek, you know. I think.
I love it.
Oh, thank you very much. It was just a bit, oh, that's great. It's like, oh, not sure. Maybe it's too full-on. But I think it gets the conversation going. There's different ways of, you know, getting attention. And this is really what we are all about, you know, the right way. And there's a number of ways. But you need to stand out. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, no, for sure. So who is, you know, who is or what is Cavalletti Communications? What do you guys do?
Oh, look, we basically, in a nutshell, we work with any written word in a business for business-to-business communication. So that's all your marketing stuff, you know, be your website, your brochures, business writing, like tenders, like annual reports, and also business books. And so I know you're an author yourself. So we help people like yourself, you know, publish their books.
Okay. And so is that because I'm looking for attention or I just want to do a better job?
I like how you go. I'm coming back to the strap line. I like that. Look, the thing is, it's a very crowded market out there, as we know. And, you know, and now with you know, the power of the internet, with digital communication, there is so much out there and not all of it is necessarily good. So it's really hard to be heard. So, you know, we basically give our clients a number of avenues to stand out from the crowd, to get that attention and that well-deserved attention, though, not just because they're shouting the loudest, but they actually have something really valuable to offer.
Okay, so you kind of help them massage their message and making sure that they say it correctly? Is that how to describe it?
Yes, look, obviously, if you think about something that most of us have, if you have run a business, a website, there's many ways of communicating who you are, what you do. And I mean, one of the main things is I still see so many websites out there that are very confusing to the person who the website's actually for, your potential client, because they're not talking to the client, but they're writing it from, you know, the business perspective. This is what we do, not how can we help you? What problems do we solve? So I think really the key to standing out from the crowd, to get that attention that we're seeking in for our business, is to be authentic. Not to be afraid to show who you are, warts and all, because there's so much stuff out there. We will notice people who stand out by being themselves, and the content, when it comes to content and writing for digital or also print, is to be really authentic, relevant, and memorable. And that takes some rethinking in some cases.
But what exactly is authentic in the writing context?
It is about what you say and how you say it, to put it really kind of in a simple term. Looking at you, looking at me, looking at a lot of small business owners, you know, there's lots of copywriters out there. There's lots of people out there who do what you do, but you do it in a specific way. On the surface of it, you know, I'm a copywriter or we've got a copywriting business, but we take it so much further. And we have a certain personality, how we talk to our clients, how involved we get, what our knowledge is, and also, you know, sometimes where we fell over, what didn't work. So I think it is really important in this market to say, this is who I am, and define that, because it's good business as well, because you don't get people approaching you where you're not a good fit. So it's about the communication style as well, the language that we use. You know, I mean, you have a very strong visual image, but also the words you use on your website. That's you. You know, I will never mistake you for somebody else. It's your business and you're being very authentic about things.
So really it's kind of about creating that story behind you, that supporting story type thing?
Or? Yeah, I mean, good writing is all about storytelling. And I think we really, when we come from a place of passion and real emotion, you know, for what we do, then we're being authentic. To put another way, it's just really not to be afraid to show your personality and how you're different. It's the same thing as if you imagine you go speed dating, okay? So we put all this kind of persona on, saying, yes, of course I do this and I'm successful and I'm doing that. You know, that's not the real person. That's the person you think the other person wants you to be. You know, but if you just turn up, you know, you're not usually in a suit, so you turn up in your jeans and you just be who you are. That's what you do in writing as well, that you really let people see who you are and be really true to yourself. And
so what if I show up in a Speedo then?
Well, you know, I'm sure you find somebody who really loves that. I mean, Tony Abbott, if he's hanging around, he might pick you up. You never know.
Oh, okay.
There's somebody for everybody. Don't you worry.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. So continue. It's about telling that story and being authentic and, you know, because that's the side that people really want to hear from. Is that correct?
It is something that people just relate to. I think good writing, good communication is, actually, it starts somewhere else. Let's take it one step back. Good communication is about listening. Because if you have to first listen to who you want your communication to read and to inspire and to engage with, who are they? So a lot of people missing out that step. They write about the business in this case, be it in a brochure, a website, or even in a LinkedIn profile, but they don't think about who's going to read it. Why are we creating all this content in order to connect with potential clients or suppliers or whatever it might be? And the first step is to listen. What do these people need? What do they want? What makes them, you know, stay up at night? What do they worry about? What gets them excited? And that's really the starting point. And I don't think, you know, it's a fine line between telling a story and creating a story, because I think the best writing and the best communication, therefore, ensues if you're being real, being authentic, and don't create a story, but just tell your story. Be truthful.
Because I was going to ask you, you know, can you sort of manipulate authenticity? And you kind of can if you create a story as opposed to just telling your story.
Look, I mean, coming from my point of view, from a copywriter, so how we would, you know, how we would work with our clients is that we're so also stuck, I think, and us included, you know, because we are just human beings, even if we're copywriters, when we talk about ourselves or think about ourselves, we are already telling ourselves a story. You know, when I started my business, I thought, oh, you know, copywriting, well, anybody can do that, you know, so no, it's not a good idea. But if you go back and actually have somebody coming from the outside, they will see you in a very different way. So let's say somebody comes to us, like we had a really lovely guy, a painter, whose his first language is not English. And, you know, he knows his stuff inside out. He's got glowing testimonials, but he wasn't able to really tell us what his point of difference is. So we sat down with him and we just got him talking about why he started painting. And this whole story emerged, which is now on his website, his passion for what he does, the accuracy, his background, and his, you know, his website gets so many more hits now because there's a real person behind it, not just another painter. But they want to connect with him and they love what they hear from him, so they want to do business with him. Because at the end of the day, we do business with people, you know, one-on-one, people that we like and that we trust and that we can relate to.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. We have to sort of build those communication strategies as well as we connect with our audience and obviously the people around us. Being in the industry for quite some time, have you, you know, without saying how old you are, you've obviously seen some changes from sort of the regular copywriting to more digital.
Yes.
You know, how has it changed, or has it changed? Is it the same, just a different medium?
It has changed insofar that people's attention span, you know, turns down to, I don't know how many split seconds sometimes, I believe, but the attention span is shorter. So you have to adjust your writing, but also how you present the content. People are very visual creatures. So obviously, if you think about blog posts and social media, and also, you know, seeing your news or any content on the phone, you have to have bite-sized information, or people actually consume information in more bite-sized form. So even if you look at a book in a Kindle, the screens are quite small and you just get a little bit of information. So I think it has really changed in, there is so much information and people are being bombarded. They're really making they have to make a very quick decision. Is this of interest to me? So we may use things such as breaking down long areas of text with subheaders. So you basically guide the eye through the story by headlines so people can quickly skim those and could then delve deeper if they think there's an interesting story. So yes, I think it has changed majorly. And also having, you know, on digital, the visual element there, or the ability to have music and sound as well. There's so many different ways to attract attention. So content has to work with, you know, all those elements as well, and not just stand in isolation.
Yeah. At the same time, we can sort of elevate it to, you know, the sound and the videos and the pictures and the headlines, but we're still kind of missing something, right? And there's that sort of the point-to-point, human-to-human contact. Is there a way in your mind of you know, overcoming that with the way you present your message?
I think that comes back to being authentic. And as I said, you know, for me, or for us as copywriters, it is really the key thing to find out who we are writing for, and, you know, what is the story to tell that makes somebody stand out? You know, how can you attract that attention and stand out from the crowd? And there are a number of ways, but I think telling a story and having emotive without being soppy, but, you know, connecting on an emotional level, that creates good content, because then you create the person-to-person connection. And because the reader feels really understood, instead of, you know, waiting for somebody to come up with a problem, you know, calling you, can you do this as well? Or you address it in a positive way in your content, saying, and we know that many of you, you know, have this issue kind of thing, and this is how we deal with it. And I go, oh, I feel safe. So I think in the writing style, and also in the time as a copywriter, but also as the business that needs content developed, that the time that you're willing to invest in understanding the business and the vision and the passion of a particular business and the clients as well, therein really lies the trick and the really the art in creating good content.
Yeah,
that will be read but also be acted on.
Yeah, and that's kind of important, is not just having it out there, but having people sort of act upon it. As you deal with a lot of small businesses as well, you know, and entrepreneurs and that sort of thing, they've kind of got the bad, not necessarily bad rap, but most of them are technicians, you know, very technical people. And I don't mean, you know, creating wires and that sort of thing,
but
technical from the standpoint that, hey, they know their stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yet they have a hard time communicating that outside of that sort of that technical box. How do you kind of encourage or coach or get people to, you know, be a little bit more open in communication?
Look, that's what comes out to get that outside view. You know, and for especially for SME, for small businesses or entrepreneurs, we come to the outsourced communications department, which it's a building of trust. So what we do is really ask them questions, not what do you do, but why do you do it? What's your vision? What's your philosophy? And sometimes it takes a little, you know, and other things like that go deeper. That, you know, what actually makes them get out of bed to run their business every morning? And that's when you drill down to the passion and the real authentic, you know, and unique motivators, why this technician, the person who's very good at one particular thing, why they're doing what they're doing. And that makes the difference in then telling that person's story and the business story and creating content that connects with the right people out there, with the right clients, not the ones that actually wouldn't be the really good clients for that particular business as well. So it's all about having the outside view, and for us as copywriters to really look at what's different about you. What do you do well? What do you differently from the rest of the industry? What's your way of thinking, and how can we differentiate you from the crowd out there and from the noise?
And how long would this process take? Is it, you know, sit down for a couple of hours or a couple of days or, you know?
Look, we've got a number of processes, but depending on how big the project is, obviously, but usually it's a number of hours and not a number of days. And we over time, with our clients, obviously, you know, we create a really close relationship, and you find it more and more, and writing becomes easier because you're almost writing as if you were them. But the initial process, let's say somebody came for something like a brochure, a website, or a tender, etc., it would be really a couple of hours. We have a written brief that we give to the client to let them come up with the ideas first and their thoughts, because it comes straight from the heart, and then we dig deeper with them. So really, it's a couple of hours, and then when we create content, other questions might emerge. But it's an ongoing process. It's the story grows while we talk.
Yeah, no, and so it should. And what do you find people are doing wrong? Like, if sort of you've been commissioned or whatever to help somebody at the beginning or opposed to later on, like what big mistakes do you find people are making out there?
I think it's just often a misunderstanding or, coming out of fear and trying to do something. What we see is, for instance, clients who just react, like because a competitor has done something. It's like, oh, I need this done because my competitor has done that. And to those clients, I would say, look, they've just done that. You know, that they've reached your market. Let's do something different. So don't just react, but think about what's your long-term goal. And within that comes, you know, the need, I think, for a bit of a marketing strategy. Whether you sit down internally and do that or get somebody from the outside, but don't just create content for the sake of creating content, but where does it fit in into your overall strategy? And that comes back to understanding who your clients are or, you know, what clients in future you want to attract. And so where are they? Where do they read your content? So that social media comes in there. You know, is your LinkedIn profile up to date? I mean, everybody, you know, checks people out on LinkedIn these days. You meet somebody networking, or you get a referral to somebody. You go to the website, people go to the website and to LinkedIn. So make sure the essentials are actually in place before you try to have a huge marketing campaign, for instance. Those are sort of the things we see, not having a plan, being reactive, and just not looking at the finer detail. That's when it's complete, nobody will notice. But if it's something, you know, wrong, like somebody having a photo with wearing sunglasses or that photo from the last fishing trip, you know, on LinkedIn, that's not professional. And it's a small thing that people will notice. But if it's a normal photo, nobody will think about it.
Yeah, or unless they're trying to go for that casual guy. Have you been looking at my LinkedIn profile?
Oh, well, I'm not saying anything. How about I just put my foot in it? I haven't looked at it recently. I should have probably.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm just teasing. So will you kind of help them? Or actually, let me step back a minute. Do you feel that we should all be helping other people with their communication, or we should lead it to the experts?
Sorry, can you rephrase that? Because I didn't quite catch the difference.
Should we be leaving communication to you, the professionals, or should we be trying to do it ourselves?
Look, I think it's a matter really of time, budget, you know, and skills. To be completely honest, I think there's some great writers out there and people able to write great content for their own business, or they've got a great team member you can help with that. And also there might be, you know, in a smaller business, there might not be the budget there. Having said that, I do believe that somebody looking at your business or at any communication that an individual produces, it has a value because we would see it from the outside with different eyes. We will ask questions that you might not have thought of. And so there definitely is a value in there. And one of the things, obviously, when it comes to budget and price point, most small businesses think, you know, oh, outsourcing, it's very expensive. But it doesn't have to be, because often we can help clients and setting them up in the right direction, letting them do a lot of the work, but giving them the structure and they just get, you know, the source material for us. And we then help polish the content rather than starting from scratch and interviewing and all that kind of stuff. So I think there is always a way that is the most useful at that time and for that medium, for the client or for that personal business where they are. But, you know, we have to face reality. Sometimes it's just there's either no budget or it's no time. Some people would be great at writing, just haven't got the time, you know, because they're a solo entrepreneur or they have a small team. So their time is better spent at growing their business rather than trying to write, which is not their core strength. So then outsourcing, I think, is a great idea.
But do you think people overestimate their skill at being a great communicator, myself included?
I'm not talking about you. Okay, let's keep it out there. But yes, to be blunt, yes. You know, it's on both sides. I had some great people who wrote really great content, especially when it's a longer piece like a book, and they thought they were absolutely rubbish at it. And, you know, I just thought, this is brilliant. You know, you are a very good writer. On the other hand, people think because they know their business so well, their writing is good, and it might be technically correct, but actually we've got this one client and she says, look, I've written this website and I know it's rubbish. I was like, okay, so it's not that bad. But she knows that she's just too much in her head and too much in the technical side. It's an IT product as well. And I don't understand a word on that page, but the information is there in that sense that it's all technically well, but not for the person she wants to reach. So she had that insight, but many people just think, if I put loads of facts in there, that's enough. But no, it's actually creating that flow and leading people in their language, and jargon here is your enemy, you know, lead them to through the story and to the outcome and to the understanding of what your business is about and how it can help you.
Yeah, no, that's some good advice. And what about scary stories from the other side to say, oh my God, I can't believe you wrote this?
Well, there are
no need to mention any names. So
look, I think I haven't come across completely horrific things, you know, that where people really should just go and hide in shame. We have, you know, it's different tendencies. You know, with a long piece like a book, it's easy to just get carried away and get into your personal story. But I think inappropriate content where people think, for instance, when it comes to social media, and we're talking digital here, social media, LinkedIn profile, people confusing LinkedIn with their personal Facebook page. And I had came across some very inappropriate photos, but also people, how they communicate, you know, using those tools. So I don't know, I've been propositioned a few times via LinkedIn. I don't think they're quite blocked there. And it's like, hey, do you want a job? And do you want a cup of tea or coffee as well? Or maybe a drink? It's like,
yeah,
not quite. But look, I wouldn't say I haven't come across any horror stories, but it's really people have been bogged down in writing completely inappropriate content or not using it in the right way, or having brilliant content, but then letting themselves down by not backing themselves up with really a consistent tone and a consistent output of content. So I think that's the worst thing, really, not being consistent and confusing the hell out of your readership.
Yeah. No, for sure. So do people think, so no real cringeworthy going on?
Oh, you
God.
Really want some really horror stories, don't you?
No, I'm just curious.
I don't know. No, look, it's really nothing where everything can be fixed. Yeah, almost everything. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I had one with this book. We're not talking digital, but a book where I had, it was 200,000 words and about 175,000 were about how great the author was as a human being. And it's like, this is for your client. And this is like, oh, but I'm fabulous. It's like, I need to tell them my story, so otherwise they won't get it. And that was really hard because it's cringeworthy, because it really, really, really reads badly, and actually you end up hating the guy. You know, you don't want to want your readers to hate you because you think they're stuck up. Mm. So powering that back and creating that balance again between personal story and actually it something being in there for the reader was a little bit tricky. Let's leave it at that.
Right, no, that's good. So do you go through people's social media posts and correct their grammar then? Or?
I'm known as a grammar Nazi, so I confess, yes. Okay. But it's not part of my job usually. But look, attention to detail is so important in writing. And I know people have different opinions, but I do believe that if I see, or if one of, you know, a person sees something that where it's badly written or a certain style, that's almost fine. It's maybe a personality thing, but to be sloppy with the grammar and with the writing, people notice it. And even if they go, ah, it doesn't matter, it sticks in a subconscious and it speaks of sort of sloppiness. And then we don't trust the person. And some people like me who are grammar Nazis, for them it's, you know, more extreme. But also I cringe. I mean, look, I've sent out blog posts with, you know, like headlines from social media with a typo, and I nearly died inside for days just because, you know, it's not a good look. But we all, let's remember that as well. So, you know, it just shit happens, as they say.
yeah, no kidding. Even from the best.
Oh, thank you very much there for complimenting them there. Yeah, look, it just happens. You know, like, yeah. I think we need to loosen up a little bit as well. But I think from a recovering perfectionist here, you know, close enough is good enough is something that really kind of makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. But I think being thorough, you know, rather than being perfect is really important. Be thorough in what you do in your writing, communication, with the research, with the writing, with the presentation. But if you're trying to be perfect, that piece will never go out. It will be sitting in your inbox, in your Word document or wherever, on your computer forever, and that's defeating the purpose. Perfect doesn't exist.
No, especially for communication.
No, the life changes every 5 seconds, you know, every moment. So,
yeah. That's anti-communication if you're not actually putting it out.
Yes, it doesn't quite work, does it?
Cool. So, excellent. Just sort of trying to wrap up here, what can businesses, small SMEs, SMBs, whatever, entrepreneurs do to sort of elevate their communication from your perspective? What would you sort of tell us, you know, your top three things are to making sure that we're able to communicate that much better?
Look, I think really understanding why and who for you are writing. I think that's the starting point, definitely. Really understand your customers, your clients, your potential clients, and even send out a survey, perhaps, you know, what are the things that really interest them, worry them, and how you're different in how you address those problems for them. So I think that's really important. So you don't just write anything. So have the focus of who you're writing for and really understand who your readership is. Then also, I think it's really important that we write consistently. So that means in how you write, your tone, your style. So, and also it has to be, again, authentic, in the sense that if I'm having a face-to-face conversation with you and I read your website and other written content, digital content, does that match? So you have to be consistent in that writing style, in the communication style. So otherwise you confuse people. The other thing is, you know, which is specific, I think, to digital, is that a lot of people are good at creating content, putting out blog posts, putting out on the website or on social media, but then they never actually use it as a tool to engage. And the beautiful thing about social media and blogging is that people love to comment. They love to put in their ideas and their feedback. And many people that I come across do not use that tool and actually start and continue that conversation. So I would urge everybody who does blog, who uses social media, they're not to shy away from actually creating the that conversation you actually were after in the first place. And even also, you know, negative comments. They're very uncomfortable to read, but I think they're such a great opportunity to really shine and let people know what you stand for, your values. If you, you know, mess up, you know, fess up. That's my philosophy. You know, if you stuff up, fess up, and just say, yes, we made a mistake here. how can we make it better? I think those are, you know, are three important things in digital.
Okay. Yeah. No, I like the last one, except the responsibility that, look, not everybody's going to be okay with what you do for whatever reason, right? But it's more if you leave it, you know, then it can fester, then it can, you know, people aren't sure what to take it or how to take it, that sort of thing. So, yeah. And look, even if you don't agree with them, there's ways of saying it so that it works out in the end for the most part, but
exactly. And especially,
go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, you know, if you have selling a product using something like Facebook groups and you have the consumer, you know, complaining of something, we've all seen it, you know, the often to me justified rants about, you know, like a telecommunication provider not working or something. And that can happen with small business as well. It's a satisfied client and, you know, and that's fine. You know, things can go wrong. And then sometimes even people, if they're not really in the right, it's still a good way, an opportunity to handle people in a caring way and show what you stand for and not actually get dragged down into an argument, because you will not be able to win it. It doesn't matter if you're in the right or not, because it's out there, and, you know, and people like this kind of fodder. So just step back and say, how can we solve it?
Excellent. Excellent advice. All right, cool. Well, thanks, Daniela. I really appreciate your time. I've been speaking with Daniel Cavaletti from Cavaletti Communications out of Sydney, Australia. And how can people find you online?
Oh, look, there's, of course, our website, cavacom.biz, and I'm on LinkedIn, on all over LinkedIn. So find me there as well, Daniela Cavaletti, and we shall connect.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, thanks, Daniela. And for the listeners, you'll be able to get the transcript and more details and links to find Daniela online at thedigitaldelusion.com/podcast. So once again, thank you very much, Daniela. And for all the listeners, we'll see you online.
Thank you very much for listening to Breaking Digital, the podcast for smart entrepreneurs wanting to become true digital leaders in their industry and to own online. If you have any comments on the program, please feel free to connect on Twitter at Doyle Bueller with the hashtag OwnOnline. I would really appreciate it if you could share this podcast with your network, as I'm sure they will get some value from it for building their successful business online as well. You can find the resources that we talked about, as well as the transcript and full podcast for download on thedigitaldelusion.com/podcast or on iTunes or on SoundCloud. I'm Doyle Bueller, and I will see you online.
Thank you for listening to Breaking Digital with Doyle Bueller. While he goes and makes a sandwich, you can find all of the notes, links, and details on this podcast by visiting thedigitaldelusion.com/podcast. Go on and click that now. www.thedigitaldelusion.com/podcast. I'll definitely click that. If you'd like a free copy of the book, The Digital Delusion, How to Overcome the Misguidance and Misinformation Online, just send an email to doyle@thedigitaldelusion.com. See you online.